Hi there, welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful Thursday morning, July 30th, 2020. Here's Tristan H. Cockcroft. Happy that he's winning all his leagues. Kyle Soppe produces and researches our fine show. And I'm Eric Carabell. They needed a host. On today's show, we will try to preview the weekend. We'll discuss what's already happened this week. Lots of good pitching, some hitting. The Marlins we got to discuss. Rookie pitchers we got to discuss. So lots going on, Tristan. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing all right, but you raise an important question in my mind.
Yes.
Am I a terrible person for having checked all of my league standings only three times total that I can recall so far? I've not been paying attention to the standings. Have you?
I don't know why you would. I mean, it's not even a week of games, so.
But it's strange in a year like this that's short. Shouldn't we be paying attention to it more? I'm conflicted on that.
No, because while we should be reacting quicker to players playing well and not playing well and giving up on players and whatnot, the standings doesn't matter. I know that Christian Yelich, Ronald Acuna, and Mike Trout, are any of them hitting even 200 right now?
Wow, Yelich. Whew.
Yelich is in the worst slump of his career. If you want to drop Christian Yelich, I think it's a bad idea. But, you know, I don't even know if you can. But the point is, like, I've got Yelich in a league, and I'm like, of course I'm not doing well in batting average. He's like over his last 20 or something, isn't he?
He's 1-for-27 for the season, if I recall. Amazingly, he's not last in fantasy points using the ESPN scoring. Do you know who is?
I don't. Is that your trivia question for the day?
No, but I should have done that because it would have been I have a trivia question, but it's not quite as good as that one, I guess.
So someone's worse, a pitcher or a hitter?
The two worst players in terms of fantasy points are teammates. The team's not doing all that bad.
I have no idea.
They're Gary Sanchez and Brett Gardner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And frankly, you're not giving up on them. I mean, if you want to give up on Gardner, I can understand that a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's not like he's a huge provider of fantasy greatness, but Gary Sanchez is by all accounts a top four worst fantasy catcher. Now, I could look at the most added drop list and probably find him on the drop list, but that's ridiculous. You shouldn't be doing that. So, no, I'm not looking at my standings at all.
Yeah, I wonder if he's on it.
I'm going to look right now. Why don't you speak about something and I'll look. People are going to react, obviously, to things that are happening. Gary Sanchez is on the most dropped.
Wow. Now, yeah.
So he's minus 2.3 over the past week. Now, he's still at 97%. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is because the Yankees haven't played this week. People are losing patience. JT Realmuto is down minus 0.8. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, these aren't the catchers being dropped in the most leagues. It's Carson Kelly, who you love, Omar Narvaez. Everybody's adding Christian Vasquez and Martin. You know, look, if you're going to add Martin Maldonado is the most added catcher in ESPN leagues. And the most dropped catcher looks like it's not Sanchez. Yeah, it's Carson Kelly. I think it's crazy to drop Carson Kelly to pick up Martin Maldonado. And so do you. But that's what people are going to do.
Unless it was one of those one-day things where Kelly wasn't playing and Maldonado had a great matchup. That's the only time I'm going in that direction. There are going to be people who are streaming catchers in a couple of these leagues. So I get it then. But otherwise, no. I made the investment in Kelly. I'm sticking with him.
I can't decide what to do about Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Because Texas obviously feels he can handle third base and he will hit for power. Nobody's saying he's the next Josh Donaldson moving from catcher to third. But he stole two bases yesterday, and I did the math on this. There was one stolen base by all catchers in the first week of the season until Kiner-Falefa stole two last night. Now, is he a catcher? Yes. In our leagues, he's eligible catcher. I just can't wait to see what happens with him. Like, is he a guy who next season hits 20 home runs? There's nothing in his minor league system that says he's going to do that. But the Rangers obviously think something's there, so I'm kind of interested to see. I'm following him in the Rangers' box scores every day to see what happens. And it's nice to see some runs were scored yesterday. You're probably saying, Eric, you're wrong. There have been 15 catchers stolen bases. But I could only find one. Tyler Heineman of the Giants stole a base over the weekend. That was the only steal by a catcher or a catcher eligible in ESPN Fantasy until Kiner-Falefa. And don't point out that I'm wrong. You're going to make me sad. And I already wrote it. It's already up. let's talk about what happened on Wednesday, please. And somebody that texted me, one of our pals, and said that I need to be happier and more shiny and rainbows and unicorns on the show and not so mean. I didn't think I was being mean or negative or pessimistic, but I'll be happy now. Nate Pearson, he's awesome. I wrote about Christian Javier. He's awesome too. I didn't realize how amazing Javier's numbers were in the minor leagues last season, and I feel a little guilty that I hadn't been recommending him. I guess I didn't think he would have a rotation spot, but he's got one now, and his next three outings are against, like, the Giants, Seattle, Arizona. I mean, he's in that rotation. So I watched Christian Javier versus Dustin May closely. I did not. I watched a little of Nate Pearson, but Nate Pearson started an hour earlier. I was really impressed by Christian Javier. He's a good deception, a great curveball. Dustin May was so inefficient. Now, if I'm ranking these guys, it goes Pearson first, Dustin May second, Christian Javier still third. But that could change really soon. Did you see any of this? And what did you think of Pearson, Javier, and May?
I did, yes. I was paying a little bit more attention to the Pearson game since I was writing up his must-add note for today. But I'm familiar quite a bit with Javier. Very good year in the minors. It was a breakthrough season. He kind of came out of nowhere last year, was likely to see time in the majors, and was considered their 6, 7, 8 on the list of sub-starters. But they've had injuries. They've had absences. Jose Urquidy is also out, in addition to Verlander. There was questions about whether Josh James would be ready to be in the rotation at the beginning of the year. Framber Valdez is one they've been throwing in there as well. I like the upside. It's a very wide range of possible outcomes, but he was impressive, as you said. If he can keep the command going like he did in that game, I do think he has earned a rotation spot. The only problem with Javier is similar to May, in that their teams have not formally committed to them as full-time starters. And I think the only reason for that is that the Dodgers and the Astros are playing this Kershaw and Verlander are going to come back. I would plan around them being there. I'm putting them in the forecaster for that. I definitely think they're both worth adds.
Okay. And obviously, Pearson's the guy we've been talking about for a while. And I wrote a little bit about Spencer Howard of Philadelphia to say that he's obviously not debuting this weekend because Philadelphia hasn't played this week. So by the end of Saturday, it's possible that 4 of the 5 starts by Philly's pitchers were by Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler, which means no Eflin, no Arrieta, which I think is a good thing. But, man, they're going to have doubleheaders. They're going to make up these games. Let's briefly discuss the Marlins. I wrote a column on Wednesday saying, drop them all. They're not playing this week at all. And how many of them did you really need in the first place? I know it's a little bit rude and, you know, cold-hearted, but other than Jonathan Villar, I mean, we have to assume that most of this team we already know is tested positive. It could affect their fatigue in the coming weeks. It could affect their team, frankly, around them. I mean, who's even playing for this team when they start next Monday? So I said, keep Jonathan Villar around, cut every other Marlin. That includes Alcantara, Kinsler, Brian Anderson. Do you agree with that? And again, we're separating reality from fantasy here.
If you're in a league like Standard, you need games, you need production, volume matters, at bats matter, and innings matter. And yeah, from that angle, sure. These guys were, in general, not drafted within the top 175 overall picks, other than VR, who you needed for the stolen bases. So I would probably be patient there as long as you can afford to keep him on your bench for a couple of days. But none of the others were musts. And it's a shame to say that this is the case, to have to go based on the team being on the sidelines, having a week's worth of postponements, and possibly more than that, as a reason to cut them in fantasy. I really hate saying that, but it's just, this is a volume game. You need players who are producing right now.
The most added list has players producing right now. Kyle Lewis of Seattle is number one. He's up to 58% as of this Thursday morning taping. Enrique Hernandez of the Dodgers is next. David Fletcher, who is now the starting shortstop because Andrelton Simmons is on the injured list, is hitting a lot. I mean, David Fletcher looks great at the plate, and that's no surprise. He hit for average last year. Tyler Chatwood, our own colleague Todd Zola has recommended Tyler Chatwood on Twitter, and I can't believe that Kyle did not go in there and retweet it or comment on it. Maybe you have.
Don't you worry. We got Twitter exposure. I had to space it out so the early crowd saw it, then the mid-afternoon crowd sees it. I'll probably retweet it again tonight and tomorrow when he posts the article.
Kyle, come on. Contrast him against the three youngsters we just mentioned, Pearson and Javier and May.
Under the bus. I mean, Pearson's a stud. I don't think there's much denying that. And he looked great going against Scherzer. Like, I was super impressed with what Pearson did last night. But I'm not taking anything away from Tyler Chatwood just because a young stud came in and pitched well. Like, you're not going to give
you're not taking him over Pearson. I don't think you're taking him over May or Javier.
Well, see, I don't have the decision.
Javier, that's one star.
I've drafted Chatwood across the board, so it's not like I'm dropping him.
Yeah.
But the point needs to be made there. Like, yeah, nobody's going to drop Tyler Chatwood until, you know, it gets lit on Friday. But, like, we like Christian Javier, but, I mean, Tristan, if you had one roster spot right now, would it be Javier or Pearson? I mean, Javier or Chatwood?
Yeah. It's fair. Right? It's a fair contrast. I personally would.
It has to be Chatwood.
I'd probably take Javier.
Already? Okay.
When I pick them up, I'm piecing that part of my roster together. And I'd rather take the chance on the young guy who I don't know. As I said, it's just a year's worth of great minor league production in one start. You're right on that. But the worst case scenario is I pick him up, he doesn't repeat it, and I replace him again. I don't think Chatwood has an awful lot of staying power.
Okay, what else do we need to discuss? If you've got Corey Kluber on your team, cut him. He's probably out for the season. We said try to keep Verlander. Steven Strasburg is not going to start this weekend, but obviously you need to keep him rostered. And Juan Soto is probably not. Juan Soto might play this weekend. This is what we were talking about on the last couple shows, that even if Juan Soto plays in two or three games this weekend, he can do more than what Michael Taylor, my replacement, if you're
can't play this weekend. They had the Miami games.
Oh, so Washington's not playing this weekend.
Right. And I saw the same thing you did where they hope to have him back on Saturday. And the first thing I thought is, okay, a good chance of two games. And I'm thinking, why Saturday? There, that was the postponement. Now, with the schedule moving around a lot, the Yankees pulling in these Baltimore games, and then there's talk, too, that the Yankees could pull in Philly games, and that would eliminate the one game that they have remaining against the Orioles in Baltimore that's next week. There's a lot of schedule maneuvering, so I don't know. But, yeah, at least they'll have him back in an intra-squad game potentially at that point.
All right, let's turn our attention, I guess, to the weekend then. So Chatwood starts on Friday night at home against Pittsburgh. That's a very good schedule there. Yeah. So we do recommend him, as Todd Zola noted. Jordan Montgomery is back for the Yankees. This is a Yankee series against the Red Sox. I would recommend Montgomery. Obviously, it's a good Boston lineup, but Ryan Weber is going to give up runs. So I don't know if Jordan Montgomery is going five innings in this game, but I do like him. And I believe you're a big fan of Spencer Turnbull of Detroit. So if you have anything to discuss on Turnbull, Montgomery, what do you think?
Yeah, so the only bothersome part about Montgomery or Turnbull for me Friday specifically is that it's, you know, the Red Sox aren't a terrible offense. It's the pitching staff that's a big issue. And Cincinnati's lineup is also a little bit tough against Turnbull. But in their defenses, they're in the right ballparks for this. Montgomery pitching in New York as opposed to in Fenway Park with the Green Monster, that's a big issue for lefties. I'd say he's a go. I have the same workload concerns that you do, but if the league is anything larger than standard, I'm taking a chance. Turnbull gets the home game. I'd rather have him there than pitching in Detroit for this one. But the fastball velocity uptick that we've seen, and this goes back even to February and March, is promising for him. Definitely a guy you should be stashing if you have the space.
So two of the best pitching staffs in the major league so far go to unfriendly for pitching venues this weekend. Colorado has the best ERA in baseball, but they have not played a home game. They will. They're at least scheduled to this weekend. I have to say that against the Padres, and the Padres have been hitting. And Cleveland goes to Minnesota. That's a team that hits a lot of home runs. So I think I know what you're going to say. You have to say. I mean, Cleveland's rotation has been amazing. It's not just the guys we know about. It's Aaron Civale. It's Zach Plesac. They're not even pitching this weekend at Minnesota. So it's like Clevinger and Carrasco. You're using them. Have you changed your mind about Colorado or no?
Not really, because the early returns on Texas are that it is a pitching-leaning ballpark, not the hitter's heaven that it used to be. So when you see a guy like Marquez, who's been outstanding in two games, that plays right into his home road splits that he's had over the past couple of years. Not ready to get there with the Rockies. I need to see this seven games scheduled currently at Coors Field, see exactly how they do there. If there's a widened home road split, if that's the case, then I'm out on Rockies pitchers. Cleveland definitely on board. Cleveland, by the way, four of their first six games had an individual who struck out at least nine batters. It's only the third time that's ever happened in any team's first six games to get nine Ks or more from individuals. It's pretty impressive what they've done. Cleveland as a franchise actually has the only one that was longer than that. It was back in the 60s, I think. And I'd throw Civale in here. You mentioned that we're going to be starting Bieber, Clevinger, and Carrasco. Aaron Civale pitches at Minnesota. It's not a great matchup, but if we're going to be on board with Montgomery against the Red Sox, I'd make the case that Civale is a little bit more tempting even with the Minnesota road start.
I feel like our line, not to be flippant here, should be the Tyler Chatwood line. Would you add these two Indians pitchers over? Because Chatwood, his first outing was good. He struck people out. I don't care what Kyle thinks about this. I don't know what he thinks. He's already given him the Cy Young Award.
I'll give Kyle this. Chatwood might be ahead of Turnbull. Chatwood's behind Savali for me. He's behind May for me. He's behind Pearson. Ultimately, I probably should rank him ahead of Christian Javier. It's a good point. Chatwood might be the line.
Who was the line back in the old days with the other crew?
Wandy Rodriguez.
Wandy Rodriguez.
Now, Wandy Rodriguez had that home road split too.
Well, Chatwood's not in Coors anymore, so I don't think Chatwood has a home road split. It just, we talk about him so much in the show, you think we're related to him, but now I think there's actual relevance for fantasy here if he pitches well against Pittsburgh, and really, he better. It's Pittsburgh. They don't hit.
Oh, man, if he pitches well twice
if he gets lit up tomorrow, man, we are tweeting you, because that's a problem.
You understand if it goes the other way, though, I'm not only tweeting with you, I'm editing the next podcast, we're bringing back the Cy Young conversation. Like, I've got audio powers over here, so I can do much more than Twitter.
You know what happens, Kyle, if he has a bad outing? Drop below the Chatwood line.
I'll take the good with the bad. You have to be, right? That's fantasy. You got to take the good with the bad, take the lumps with the victory laps.
Let's go over the weekend schedule a little bit more here and see if there's anything that matters. Saturday, probably a doubleheader in Philly. The Toronto's the home team. If they go seven innings, I'm not going to be pleased by that. But, they do what they got to do. Any pitchers here? Zach Godley? No, you know where you're using Zach Godley. Right? I mean, there's no way.
No way. He'll be pitch limited anyway.
Luke Weaver was not so good in his first outing, and neither was Julio Urias. Any worries about either of them?
A little bit, because Weaver doesn't have that elite strikeout number, but I'm going to give him a break. The problem I have here is that a Dodgers outing, even in Arizona with the humidor, I'm a no on that. I would leave him out. I'd be more apt to use Urias if I needed to.
And Tyler Glasnow at Baltimore seems like a can't miss. But we should note, we don't know if Glasnow is going to go long enough to get a win. And Tampa Bay is doing whatever. I love how Tampa Bay is using their bullpen and they're flummoxing fantasy owners. And it's not flummoxing me, because I feel like we knew this was going to happen. Oliver Drake gets the first couple saves, and then he's in the sixth inning yesterday. Nick Anderson, no idea. He's not even missing bats. I'll drop Nick Anderson. I might just drop all my closers, unless they're solid top 10 closers. But there's only like 10 guys we can even count on. Mitch Keller at Wrigley on Saturday. I think I want to like Mitch Keller. We talked about this a whole lot in 2019. And then Texas pitchers go to San Francisco. So they should pitch well there, too.
Yeah.
Very interesting. You like Mitch Keller? Are you in?
Yeah. There was a big debate in the original spring training. He had one of the widest ERA FIP differentials from last year. And he had some early inning issues at the beginning of his big league career. So far, so good from what we've seen about him. The first outing was, I'd say, at least encouraging enough that I'm in. Road Cubs isn't a great matchup. I'd say it's worth a go. The home Minnesota one that's after that, even in Pittsburgh with the great ballpark factor compared to Minnesota, I think I'd leave him out, at least now, as I'm planning ahead.
Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN has the Yankees hosting the Red Sox and James Paxton on the mound for your Yankees. I feel like when he pitches, he should pitch well. I just don't know how often he's going to pitch. But, when I looked it up, he's actually pitched more the past couple of years than I thought he had. He's not getting the 30 starts, but he's not at 20 either. Maybe I'm a bit unfair on James Paxton, but you're using him. If you've got him, you're using him.
Are you sure?
You're not using him against Boston?
The velocity points from the first outing are valid, so I think the question is valid.
Are you using Shohei Ohtani at home against Houston?
No. I will use Paxton, but this is an important start for him. I would leave Ohtani out. That's just not a good matchup for him.
Well, he's facing Houston, but his first outing, he didn't get any outs. Are you more likely to use Merrill Kelly at home against the Dodgers than Ohtani? How can you?
I would hope not to use either one. Kelly did pitch well in the first outing, but the Dodgers could be the one that has him regress significantly.
I feel like people are overreacting.
Dylan Cease stands out.
Really? You're going to use Dylan Cease?
Dylan Cease over both at Kansas City, without question. He's definitively ahead of Kelly and Ohtani for Sunday for me.
Dylan Cease over Ohtani?
Absolutely.
You're sure about that?
Sunday? Without question.
So Dylan Cease has pitched in one game. It was at Cleveland. He gave up 7 hits, 2 home runs, 4 earned, and 2 1/3, 1 strikeout. See, he obviously, that's better than Shohei Ohtani. I'm not as good as Merrill Kelly, but I don't agree with you here. What do you? I don't see what you see in Dylan Cease. You're going to use Dylan Cease over Shohei Ohtani and Merrill Kelly, who I admit Merrill Kelly is on the chat with.
I just don't. Special. I don't like the matchups, and I'm going to play that there at that level. I don't think you can risk it with Ohtani after that first start going against Houston. That is a bad matchup for him. Kelly that against the Dodgers. It's a bad matchup.
Overreactive for him. Based on one outing. Okay.
Again, it's one outing. I mean, do you think that those matchups, just look at the matchups, not the pitchers, are anywhere near each other? The Kansas City one is leaps and bounds ahead.
But Kansas City still has the last year's home run winner, and they've got a lineup of potential. Look, every team can hit somebody. Dylan Cease is getting hit up. I am not using Dylan Cease over Shohei Ohtani.
You're not going to use either one, I would presume, correct?
I have Ohtani active in a weekly. I can't get him out. In a daily, I probably would not. If I have Ohtani in a daily league, I would just rather not have anybody there. I'd probably use Merrill Kelly over him even against the Dodgers, but no way is Dylan Cease getting there for me. What else do we need to do? Nary a combo meal so far, so not
that's
like
pretty
we have
incredible.
A song anyway.
That's pretty incredible. Last year, we did not go more than, I believe it was 5 days without a combo meal. We are at 7.
I bet Tommy Pham will have one soon enough. Doesn't he already have like 4 steals?
Yeah, he's been running pretty... Pretty wild.
Want to get a trivia question in here before we go to a closer report?
Sure. Let's do trivia. It's time for some trivia. All right. We didn't talk about Lance Lynn. He's pitched pretty well to begin the year. He's begun the year with back-to-back quality start performances, and in each of them, he did not allow a run. And there's only one active big leaguer who has a lengthier such streak to begin a season. That is 3 quality start outings, and each of them a shutout performance in nature to begin his season. And I would like you to name this individual. One guy who's done it. 3 straight quality starts to begin his season, and they were all shutout in nature.
I don't like questions like this. Because it's like, yes, I'm. You could have said there's 5 guys, and I would have believed that.
I'll give you the hints if you'd like them.
Sure.
Because this isn't like something you would ordinarily know. It's like if you weren't paying attention and you remember what had happened. But like, say like, who are the all-time Royals home run leaders in a season? I could get that eventually. But this I can't get. Not all the
trivia is going to fall perfectly into the type you like. So,
I mean, DeGrom, was it DeGrom last year? I don't know.
It was not DeGrom. Okay, it happened in 2017. Now, this individual, his first 2 of these came against the eventual World Series champions.
Houston.
He is a left-handed pitcher. He shares his name with the actor son of another notable yet deceased actor.
Actor's son.
We have named him on this show today.
We've named this guy on the show today.
Yes.
Now, did you put more thought into the question or the hints? Because that's some right there.
I know. I had to dig deep today. It's not the easiest of trivia days, but I just thought these were some cool facts about this guy.
Wait, all right, Corey Kluber?
Not Corey Kluber.
Did you say he was a lefty?
He is a lefty, this individual.
So it's not Corey Kluber. All right, so I'm trying to think of what lefty we've named on the show today. That'll give it away. I mean,
yep, we've certainly raised some questions about this individual today. One of them is the trivia question.
Oh, James Paxton.
It is James Paxton. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it. Let's go to the closer report here. We're going to try to do a closer carousel. You want to do a closer carousel song?
Closers.
So we should have like a worry meter, you know, to see what's changing. So Jose Leclerc of Texas had a sore shoulder. So he did not pitch on Wednesday, and Nick Goody did a Goody job and got the save. Would you add Nick Goody right now? I mean, this seems like it's going to be an injuryless stint for Leclerc. And let's start with that. Would you add Nick Goody right now?
I lean to no here. There will be situations where you need to do it. 2 issues. One is it could always just be a day-to-day thing with Leclerc. I am worried about it. I'm glad you raised the question. The other is, when does Rafael Montero get back? If I'm making my choice, that's the direction I'd go for long-term saves.
Would you add Nick Goody over Nick Anderson right now?
No, absolutely not.
So why are you saying absolutely? It's pretty clear Nick Anderson is not getting saves.
Anderson is still a superior pitcher. He's going to put up the ERA whip and Ks that you need. I think he will fall into the occasional win and save. Those are going to help you. That's exactly the style of pitcher I want this year to fill in all the spaces on my squad.
I mean, I tend to agree, but then I'm also looking at he's pitched an inning and two thirds so far. He has one strikeout. He doesn't look like he's in the closer role. I'm just saying.
You're right that he's not in the closer role, but this shows the contrast of me wanting the quality of performance, you're chasing saves. And you need to do either of those things depending on the league type.
Did you think it was crazy when I wrote the other day, and I know you read everything I wrote, that Kwang Hyun Kim could replace Miles Michaelis in St. Louis's rotation and Giovanni Gallegos or Ryan Helsley could get the saves?
You know I read that, and you know I was in agreement with you, in fact. Yeah, and look, Mike Schilt said that that wasn't going to be the case, but he also left the window open. I listened to his words. He said that later in the year they could be taking a look at that. So yeah, I think you're onto something.
I would drop all Seattle relief pitchers. It's clearly not Matt McGill. It's somebody else every night. Dan Altavilla had the save on Wednesday. I think Nick Birdie is Pittsburgh's closer now, though I want to see a little bit more. Yep. I think Kansas City's closer to me right now, I'd say it's 50-50 between Greg Holland and Trevor Rosenthal, which means 0% Ian Kennedy. Ian Kennedy's clearly not the closer. Drop him. Drop him in all formats. He's not closing.
In effect, I'm going to set up capacity yesterday, yeah.
He's seventh inning.
Couldn't we have seen that coming?
We could not have seen that coming.
You've got to pick one. You have to take only one. Who's it going to be?
I think it's Holland, but like people are telling me Trevor Rosenthal is going to be the closer. So I probably avoid, but I guess I would say Holland, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's Rosenthal this weekend. Brad Hand was bad now on Wednesday, although it wasn't all his fault. There was a catcher's interference and a walk and a non-hard hit ball, but next in line. So I didn't really know a whole lot about Cameron Hill. But he was a closer in the minor leagues in Cleveland system, and we all think James Karinchak is next in line. Now, he might be. Karinchak pitched in game one of that doubleheader in middle relief, setting up for Hand, so Cam Hill got the save in game two. That seemed a little bit odd to me. I wonder if Cam Hill is next in line. Brad Hand, something could be wrong. Something could be wrong with any of these guys. We haven't even seen Kimbrel pitch since his blow-up, so we don't know what's happening with the Cubs. No idea on the Orioles. Just ignore the Orioles, ignore Seattle. You agree with all this so far? Chime in if you want.
Yeah, the Indians one is very important, who the individual is going to be. I still believe in the stuff of Karinchak. Hand had the injury issues late last year, was very ineffective in the final 2 months. I'm not sure which direction to go. The Cam Hill thing puzzles me. It does puzzle me.
Well, I think it adds intrigue because we still don't know.
But if you're placing your investment in one spot and we have to do this, it's Karinchak for me. It's Karinchak.
Oh, is that what it is?
Okay. Yeah. I've done all my pronunciations.
I don't know, so I'm not trying to be mean to him.
Karinchak.
I just don't know. All right, before we get to the hash browns, is there anything else that we have not discussed? Let me look through the note here that Kyle worked up. Anything else here? Closers, we got to all that. We did the weekend preview. You already said Ohtani on your bench, and I believe it's possible when we do our next show that Ohtani's not on our bench for the following week. I think that's just as likely to happen that he'll pitch five decent innings. David Fletcher, we mentioned, he's getting on base. Like, David Fletcher is one of those guys who, you know, we used to do this with Martin Prado. Not a whole lot of power or speed, but you're getting a decent, safe batting average. He's leading off regularly for the Angels. I don't see that changing anytime soon. Even when Simmons comes back, I think Fletcher's going to keep on playing somehow. So I kind of like David Fletcher, probably more than you do, but it's not a great profile for fantasy, but it's not a bad one.
Let's define it as where throw a number you'd rank him.
Ugh. You'd have to say this guy or that guy. I mean Fletcher's already up to 80% rostered. So.
He's a tough read because I think of Martin Prado in the prime years for Prado, very high floor, but very limited ceiling. But the multi-position eligibility, the fact he has a role, I'm on board with you. The problem is I don't see the path to top 100 production in fantasy.
So let's say also on the most added list in the top 10 are two Seattle players named Kyle. Kyle Lewis, Kyle Seager. It's a Kyle day. Would you rank these three players, Kyle Lewis, Kyle Seager, and David Fletcher for the rest of the season? I guess Roto at points, because in points you'd want Fletcher over Lewis, but in Roto you might not.
Because of the contact for Fletcher, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, if it's see, that's the thing. If it's points, I'm probably putting Lewis at the bottom of this list. I probably would in both formats go Fletcher, Seager, and Lewis.
And, but I think throw in another Kyle Tucker. Where would you rank him on them among those four?
Oh, jeez.
Because Kyle Tucker led off yesterday, and then he struck out four times in an extra inning game, which was really boring. And
Tucker would be higher than Roto.
He's got the potential to steal bases. He's got power. I feel like in a month we're going to say we all overrated Kyle Tucker. Like 30-30 in the minors is awesome and stuff, but he was a lot better two seasons ago in the minors. Maybe Houston knows that he's just an average player. I don't know.
I don't think he's an average player. I just think these are the initial struggles which happen to some top prospects. Some of them don't make it, and maybe that's going to be the case here. And the role was very much in question. And the role is going to be in question when, if Jordan Alvarez comes back.
That's a fair point. Let's bring in another Kyle. This is our Kyle. Kyle, we got some hash browns. Let's have at him.
Kyle-centric day. I love you guys. All right. Cody wants to know if Chris Davis from 2019 is now the Chris Davis we should come to expect moving forward after a brutal start.
Well, he did get off to that horrible start, you know, that Oriole lineup.
So we're talking about Oakland's Chris Davis, who
I know, I'm joking.
Has nary a hit so far. He is 0 for 15, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts. And that's probably enough to drop him in every, you know, standard mixed league. But that's probably a mistake as well. It's a bad start. I think he's going to be the guy he was 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. But, Tristan, we haven't even played a week yet. Like, I would I drop Chris Davis? No. But I would wait only about another week if he's still, you know, not doing anything. I haven't watched all of his at-bats. Maybe he's rifling, you know, line drives right at the center fielder. Maybe, I don't know what he's, maybe hit one to the fence. I feel like we know what he is and what he isn't. I guess, it, you know, who are you at? Are you adding David Fletcher for Chris Davis? I mean, they do different things. So, and without context, what are you doing with Chris Davis?
I think you've summed it up quite well here, that I would be patient with him. Remember, he is a streaky player by nature. It's just the style of play that he is. I also have not seen, and first of all, I haven't seen an awful lot of Oakland A's games. I saw one or two of them, and I just don't recall his at bat, so I can't give you a full analysis here. Is he less than full health? That would be my big question. That influenced his numbers last year. If he's at less than 100%, then yeah, a week from now, I'm moving on.
So the most dropped list for ESPN hitters right now is some of them I wouldn't drop. But I'll read you the top 11 because Chris Davis is 11. Number one is Howie Kendrick. That's a mistake. I wouldn't be dropping him. Washington hasn't played this week. It's not his fault. Gavin Lux is number two. I would drop. I have no idea when the Dodgers promote him again. Not even on their main roster. It could be a month. Aaron Hicks is number three. Why? He homered yesterday. Why are you dropping him? Scott Kingery is number four. I see why you're dropping him. He's batting eighth in the order. Phillies haven't played this week, but the Phillies are playing this weekend. Garrett Hampson is number five. They're at home this weekend. I don't know if he's playing over Matt Kemp or, you know, Tapia or anyone else. They have a lot of hitters there. Hunter Dozier, I would drop. He's on the injured list. He has the virus. Andrew McCutchen, Phillies, same as Kingery, although McCutchen leads off. Kevin Newman, Danny Santana, who you know well, and then Kyle Tucker and Chris Davis.
Santana's off to a dreadful start, too.
Right, and Willie Calhoun's on this list. He has an area hit.
He's so, yeah, another one.
Would it matter to somebody if Willie Calhoun, in two of the hard-hit balls, were bleeders that got through, and he was 2 for 13 instead of 0 for 13. You probably would. That's why you don't drop him, because you have no idea of the context of his slow start.
So when that's the case, I usually go to the underlying metrics. Chris Davis, 2 hard hit balls, that's 95 miles per hour faster, 3 of them for Willie Calhoun. The expected numbers, I go into that for StatCast, say that the two of them have gotten off to deservedly slow starts. 120 expected average for Chris Davis, 164 for Willie Calhoun, 194 expected weighted on base average. Yeah, they've deserved these slow starts, but the sample is ridiculously small.
If I liked Willie Calhoun a week ago, I still like him today. That's my point. Now, in a week, I might have changed my mind. I don't know what the line is. It's different for every player. It really is. For starting pitchers, you know, say Chadwick gets loaded tomorrow, and it's one good outing, one bad. I think Ohtani pitches well on Sunday. Like, I don't want to change my mind about these guys based on one outing, but Christian Javier is different because that was his first outing. You know, like, I need to see more on everybody.
Yep.
Okay, next, Kyle.
Next up, Raw wants to know if he should max out his fab on Verlander. He agrees that he shouldn't have been dropped, but does it make sense to spend up all his fab this early in the season?
I don't think I would do that. I think the earliest we see Mr. Verlander is probably, what, September 1st? And he also could be, the first outing or two could be two, three innings. So I think I'm in agreement with Tristan that you use your fab early if there's somebody worthy, but I think you use it for somebody worthy now, not for somebody in a month. And you're not using it on Nick Markakis either, by the way. He's not a good fantasy option. He's a great guy, not a good fantasy
option. Written points when he plays, but I don't know how much he plays.
That's the other thing. He might be platooned with Duvall. Anyway, back to Verlander. I would not use it. Would you?
I agree. I do think that you should be more aggressive with fab, which is the other part of this question. But in this case, when I'm being aggressive, I want the stats today. If you're going to be aggressive, you want the stats today. And the one player which I did this was, I watched in my draft that Freddie Peralta went in the reserve rounds of my big points league. Somebody cut him, and I went and scooped him up. Because he's pitching right now.
So how much do you spend on Verlander? If you're not, I mean, you agree that he shouldn't be dropped, yes?
Yes.
Not necessarily. It depends on the league. You're not in an AL only, of course you don't drop him. In a 10-team ESPN mixed, yeah, I probably would drop him because it's half the season at least. And it's more than half the season because when he comes back, he's not going to be throwing seven innings on 100 pitches. So and by the way, if Houston is doing well enough to make the playoffs because of guys like Christian Javier, Cy Snead, maybe they get Pruitt back and he pitches well, they just want Verlander for October. They don't care what he does in September. Because in this season, the ranking, their seeding means nothing. Nothing. You want to be the home team for that first round series, and that's it. But if you're the home team and you're like the fourth home team, it doesn't matter. Ugh.
I'm trying to dig up the number of names on the injured list. Just in our game, because you get three injured spots, I'm keeping Verlander around because I can't see how somebody has four players they need to put on the IL with him included. But again, to your point, it's league context. If you're in a league where you only have bench spots, no injured list, yeah, it's a problem and I'm moving on.
Right. Like I can't name three other injured players right now, injured list option players that I would rather have than Verlander. Can you? Like I'm trying to think who's coming back.
Soto, Meadows, and Clayton Kershaw.
That's three. Can I name six? I don't know.
Yordan Alvarez, Chapman, Eduardo Rodriguez.
No on Rodriguez because Panaka. I don't think he's any. No on him. So I would say that's five that I would rather have than Verlander. But I'm dropping Eduardo Rodriguez. I'm starting to wonder if he pitches at all this season. And
I worry about the condition he has. That's
a heart condition.
Also, the specific type can be a major concern. It could be something that's not a huge deal, but it could be something that needs treatment.
Absolutely.
Like, a lot.
I mean, like if Ryan Weber gets lit up again, that means Eduardo Rodriguez is close to coming back. Are you crazy? Boston's 2-4. Benintendi looks awful. They have no rotation. Even when Eduardo Rodriguez comes back, they have no rotation. Mm-hmm. No, he should not be pitching this season. But that's just me. Okay.
You mentioned earlier in the show, Eric, that you're not panicking on Yelich, and that makes a lot of sense. But Cameron wants to know which struggling star you are most worried about.
I can't even go there. I don't know. I'm not worried about anybody. I'm not even worried about Ohtani.
I think Chris Davis counts a little bit. Ohtani, like, if that... You're talking about the Chatwood line for where you'd pick up pitchers. Where's the line for, in this case, let's go hitters, that you would drop?
I think I would drop Oakland's Chris Davis if it made sense, if there was somebody I had to have. I don't think I could do it for David Fletcher. For Kyle Lewis, I might, because Kyle Lewis is playing, and he profiles much like Chris Davis. So Kyle Lewis, yes, I would add Kyle Lewis and cut Chris Davis because – like that's his Kyle Lewis's best case scenario seems like what Chris Davis was doing 2, 3, 4 years ago. Now that you might think that's nuts, but I think that's a fair one. But looking at the most added drop list of hitters, I wouldn't do it for Kiki Hernandez, Fletcher, Colin Moran. I'm not going to drop Chris Davis or Colin Moran. Swanson, I might. Dansby Swanson. Votto, I might. Teoscar, no, he's not playing. Peraza, no, I wouldn't. Will Myers, no. Yastrzemski, I might. Plays every day. He leads off. He can homer in road games, although he homered yesterday at home twice, right? So I would add Mike Yastrzemski over Chris Davis.
I'm trying to think in terms of drop-worthy candidates, and the first two that come to mind are the closers we've discussed. Well, I believe we discussed Sean Doolittle.
It has to be hitters for purposes of comp. So, like, I feel like it's a little bit different. But, like, Cespedes, for example, he's not even making contact. He has two home runs, and everything else is like a strikeout. I'm not dropping him yet.
I'm not sure why, if we're talking stars, it has to be a hitter. I don't know why people are going to the hitters over the pitchers.
Okay. All right.
Craig Kimbrell and Sean Doolittle have had velocity concerns. The role has come definitively into question over the first week of the season. I think you could have that conversation. On the hitting side, the Santana slow start bothers me just because of the nature of the player. But I'm not ready to move on even from him quite yet.
What if they're the anti-Rockies and they're only going to hit on the road?
The Rangers?
Well, I mean, we don't have nearly enough evidence. We need like 2 years of evidence to know if that's really an extreme pitcher's park on the scale of, you know, AT&T or Candlestick or whatever they call it now in San Fran. But like until the eighth inning yesterday, nobody was hitting in Globe Life Field. Nobody in a week.
Yeah. In Santana's case, I think the ballpark did help him last year a good amount. And I'm not even saying without even digging up the splits, I'm not even saying what the splits necessarily were. He does not have good strike zone judgment. You and I both know that.
Not even close.
Know that. Yeah. 8 Ks, no walks. This
so
is
why
problem.
Would we, if Texas's new ballpark is extreme pitcher, why would we not roster Mike Yastrzemski over Danny Santana right now? Obviously the stolen base is a little different. Santana runs, but I kind of like Mike Yastrzemski. So I'm going to roster him over Danny Santana and Chris Davis right now.
Okay. I could get on board with that.
I'm just using the ballpark corollary here. That's what I'm saying. I'm also saying
the role corollary. I can't even say that word. Don't use that word. I can't say it right. Volume matters.
I'm going to use it a lot now.
Get high in the lineup. Oh, thanks.
That's going to be like myriad and nary. That's going to be the next word.
Colorado-rary.
Colorado or Larry.
Colorado Larry.
Like Matt Boyd is the pitcher everyone wants to drop. He had 250 strikeouts last year. I can't drop Matt Boyd.
By the way, Whit Merrifield. Have you looked at that?
Whit looks great.
No, I mean Whit versus Matt Boyd.
Oh, yes, yes.
He's something like 22 for 41 in career.
Yeah, there's something there. Matt Boyd looks like the healthiest drop pitcher right now. Everybody on the most drop list among starting pitchers is injured except for Fulton Nevich, who really is nothing. He's not even on team. He's going to find a job this weekend, and you're going to add him, and you should. His velocity is landing like 5 miles per hour. Brendan McKay, Luke Weaver is being dropped, Caleb Smith. Matthew Boyd is already down to 80% rostered. He had 248 strikeouts last year. You shouldn't be dropping Matthew Boyd. Now, what do I need to see? Two more starts? It might ruin your season. It's not going to ruin your season to have Matt Boyd for two more starts.
Boyd is chasing the second half numbers, and that if Mike Minor had pitched like that, are we cutting Mike Minor? Because if the answer to that is no, we should be having the same approach with Boyd after one start.
What happened?
Two starts.
Okay.
That doesn't mean move on immediately after one or two the following year. If you invested in Boyd, you need to stick with him.
All right, let's do one more hash brown here, and then we have some other business later.
Last question here. Brian wants to know if you can go over the standard positional eligibility rules for this season again. What's it mean in the short season as far as adding eligibility goes?
What do you got, Tristan?
All right. The eligibility rules would be 5 games in season for a player to earn new eligibility. It's 5 again for next season. The pitcher's one, I'd have to get you the exact numbers. I don't play an awful lot of starting pitching, relief pitching designated ones. So
I thought it was three. Three starts?
I don't feel like going on record here without the formal exact number.
All right, so while he's looking it up, I'll wrap things up. Otherwise, I think we'll be back next week. And I hope they play baseball this weekend in Philadelphia. And while hopefully the Marlins players that are sick get healthy. This is a serious thing. I hope everybody listening to our show is wearing their masks because it's the only way we're going to have a baseball season and a football season is if this country starts to get it. And that's about all I have to say right now. Tristan, do you have your answer already?
Gosh, it's 10 games for next year, so I'm already incorrect on that one. Okay, so position eligibility for 2020. He will gain it for 5 games for a hitter, yep. 10 will be for next season. For pitchers, For starting pitcher, they need 2 starts. For relief pitcher, they need 3 relief appearances for this season.
There you go. All right, that's all for our show today. Thank you so much for listening. Kyle Soppe is awesome. We really love him. He produces and researches, and he's a good pal. Tristan H. Cockcroft has already won all his leagues, and I am Eric Carabel. Please have an awesome and safe weekend.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.